It's all go still at the airfield. People taking it in turns to climb aboard. The spirit of safety, number one. And back in the tent where the food and drink is, which is obviously where you'll find me, I spotted somebody with an interesting looking book entitled Airships, Cardigan by Geoffrey Chamberlain. And I thought, hang on a second, have I just met my first ever blimp spotter? Is that a fair description?
Yeah, I've been called worse, I suppose. But yes, but basically my connection with airships is I grew up in Cardington, which, if anyone knows anything about airships, it's basically the home of British airships. To this day, there's two very large buildings called the Cardington Sheds. And they're basically where British airships have been made since 1917. And obviously, Spirit of Safety was made there as well, assembled there a few months ago. And as a child, I grew up on the family farm. When I was four, my father took me out. Didn't really know what was happening. He took me out to the backfield, stood me on the back of a combine, because he's a farmer. And in the distance, I saw some sort of strange UFO, I thought. I didn't know what it was. And as it came closer, it ended up being the first airship I ever saw, which was GBIHN, which was a Skyship 500. And that kind of set me off from there, really. So it's, I can blame my dad on that day for my interest in airships.
And the book you have is a present from him?
Yes, it was the first airship book I ever got. Had it for years before I actually read through it, because I was about, how old was I? Probably about 6 or 7 when I got it. And I was looking at the pictures, loved the pictures in there, of the R101, which was the biggest airship, biggest aircraft the UK has ever produced, which was built at Cardington. It's quite a sad story, really. On its maiden voyage, not its maiden flight, because it had been flying a year before it went on its maiden voyage. On its maiden voyage, it was flying to Ismailia in Egypt, and then on to India, Karachi. And it had been forced through a lot of trials. It was a developmental craft. It was being produced for the Imperial Airship Scheme, which was the government's idea of linking the British Empire by vast airships. And at 777 foot long, it was the largest aircraft the UK has ever made. If you drive by there, there's no blue sign stating this. There's no information anywhere states that this is the largest aircraft, but it was. And it was built at Cardington. And it's one of the many stories that I picked up over the years that got me more and more fixated by them.
What happened to it?
Long story. Right. It was built in 1929. It was launched in 1929. And on its trial flights, it was discovered that some alterations needed to be made to increase its lift to be able to make it go on its first voyage. And to do this, they'd done many things. They made the gas cells inside, because it's a rigid airship, which is completely different to the Spirit of Safety. A rigid airship has a large metal structure on the outside and inside are individual gas cells, which loads of gas bags inside, which basically keep it in the air. And they discovered that this ship was too heavy for the voyage intended. It was great for local flights and flying around the country, but on a large, you know, voyage, it was too heavy, so they needed to do some drastic work to it. So the first work they did was basically make the gas cells slightly bigger. Now, the problem was that was, which they unforesaw at the time until it was too late, they discovered that it rubbed on the metal framework inside the ship. So you've got in this ship with the gas cells inside rubbing on this framework, making lots of little holes, which obviously when you're trying to keep a gas inside is not too good. So basically what they did with that is they patched that up and they made it good to say I didn't need it, but they'd still discovered they needed more lift. Now what can they do to make it bigger? So what they did, they cut it in half. They split it, separated the two sections out and stuck a new gas cell in the centre, 45 foot long. And this was also suspended from the roof of the shed, one at Cardington. And they put this new gas cell in, lengthened it, increasing its length to a total of 777 feet long.
Wow.
And basically, when the work was finished, there was a chap called Lord Thompson of Cardington that was Secretary of State for Air, and he was forcing them to make this flight to India for the Imperial Conference where he was going to attend. And he needed to be there at a certain date. And basically, he was forcing the designer's hands to get it ready for that date. So it was rushed. A lot of things were rushed. After relaunching, after the lengthening, it had been given a 24-hour trial flight before its voyage to set off, which it did in very calm weather, very smooth weather, flew perfectly. no problems. There was a problem with one of the engines, but that could have been sorted out. But it flew generally fine. They were decided it was good to fly, so they cut the 24 hours to about 17 hours and flew back to base. In the meantime, they gave their crew about a day off just to recuperate, get ready after the long flight, to get ready for the big one, the big push. And then on the evening of the 4th of October, they decided to go, to leave. So they loaded the ship up. Some say it was overloaded, some say they put too much stuff on. Lord Thompson has said, I can't remember the exact weight, but a rather large carpet they took with them. And they stored that on the ship. And a lot of people say it was overweight, too heavy to go, they put too much stuff on. As the ship launched, the nose dropped quite a bit, which ballast was dropped at the time. But it was a long journey, they needed to load the ship up with a lot of fuel to get it there. So a miscalculation slightly, possibly, but it was rectified. They got to the cruising height and they set off. A lot of people said it was flying too low. Basically, with an airship of a certain size, the higher you go, gas expands. Mm-hmm. Now, on blimps like this, they get by this by having ballonets, I can never pronounce it properly, inside the ship, which is like a bag of air.
Yeah.
As the ship goes up, the helium expands and squeezes the air out. So when they say about pressure heights, its pressure height is when the balloon is completely emptied.
Okay, and it got a certain ceiling that they can fly to.
Yeah, that's it.
What happened with the big boy?
The big boy, they had gas valves because it was using hydrogen, and hydrogen is very cheap. It's not like helium. Helium is very expensive. Hydrogen, cheap to produce. They just vented it.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you're on a very long trip, you can't just vent all your lifted gas because you're going to get halfway there and think, oh, we're going to go down. So what they did, they set a ceiling height where the gas cells wouldn't leak.
Yeah.
And they stuck to it, but it could be quite low.
Yeah.
Now, considering this ship was 777 feet long,
yeah,
flying, let's say, 1,200 foot up, it looks low.
Yeah.
It's going to look low, no matter what.
Yeah.
So a lot of people said it flew too low. But anyway, that's past the par. They were flying to India. So they set off on the 4th of October, made it across the channel fine. They had water recovery systems on the ship, which restored all the water ballast that was lost through the nosedive bit at the beginning. Everything was fine. The ship was ticking over perfectly. The height had to be altered a few times due to the altimeter playing up, but they got the right height, the cruising height, which they set at, and everything was looking fine. It got to just about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the main theory of how the accident occurred, at the front of the ship, there was a lot of fabric on the ship that was replaced with the lengthening. And at the front of the ship, that fabric was not replaced. And the theory goes, as the ship was flying in some very foul weather, it was quite stormy weather, wind, rain, everything blowing around it, a tear occurred in the hull, which deflated the front two gas cells. So as she was flying along, a hole at the front top of the nose there appeared, and the gas cells deflated, and the nose dips. Now the chap on the elevator wheel, as soon as he figured that out, full up elevator, which are the fins on the back, it pulled the nose up. Yeah. As it dived, the airspeed over the elevator's increased, making it more effective, and pulled the nose up.
Yeah.
As it levelled off, it slowed.
Right.
And it dived down again. Now remember, it's 777 feet long, flying at 1,200.
I know what you're going to say.
Ran out of air. So he pulled up, he nearly pulled up again, but unfortunately they ran out of air because it was of the height of it.
Yes.
Impacted the ground very gently. The estimated speed of the ship at an impact was 12 miles an hour. That was predicted. Right. They were trying to make a crash landing.
Yeah.
They knew the ship was coming down.
Yeah.
They slowed the ship down enough. They brought it down. As it touched down, something went wrong. So basically, if the ship had gone down and it was full of helium, it wouldn't have burnt, obviously.
Okay, yeah.
Because helium, they use it in fire extinguishers. But it was full of hydrogen. So the ship touches down. The theory goes one of the engines had petrol starter motors on them.
Okay.
That shot petrol out everywhere. One of the engines got pushed up in the hull. There's a lot of theories to cause the fire, which I won't go into because you get lost for hours about theories of the cause of the fire. But something ignited and it burnt throughout the ship. A few survivors got out, but it was the end of the British Imperial Airship Scheme.
That basically finished British airships?
Yes, basically. The R-100 was its sister ship.
Yeah.
That flew to Canada and back.
Yeah.
Designed by Barnes Wallis.
Yeah.
Bouncing bomb man. And numerous aircraft as well.
I almost thought you were there, the way you've just recited the equivalent of the Titanic, but for airships. Did they ever make a movie of that?
There's not, but there's a lady on Facebook I've spoke to a few times that's got a screenplay.
Okay.
And there's a lot of stories. Her screenplay is based on what happened after the crash.
Yeah.
There was a medium called Eileen Garrett, and she allegedly spoke to a lot of the passed away crew, and she came out with a lot of technical details on the airship and the Imperial Airship Scheme.
Not read the same books as you?
It was before the books were written. Okay. But yeah, it was directly after the crash. She came out with so much detail. She was actually investigated by the ministry.
Really? Because they thought she might have been involved.
She had a spy somewhere along the line, but she found out.
Well, it would definitely make an interesting film. Yeah. Are you into planes in the same way?
Not as much. I do like
You're
planes.
Definitely a blimp spotter then.
Definitely a blimp spotter, yeah.
How many do you think there are?
In the UK, there's one at the moment. Which I'm looking at just over there.
Yeah, how many flights have you had?
I've had two. Not a great deal, but they're very rare to get.
No, that's amazing. I mean, they should make you honorary test tourist on this tour, because you know so much.
Well, thank you very much. But
so you've got signatures in the front of the book. Right. Who are these signatures of?
Well, one of them is the pilot of the first airship flight I went into. Yeah. Went on.
This is the airship taking off now in the background. Quite well spectacularly. Time. Lovely bit of lift.
Yeah. Tail down. Off she goes.
Amazingly manoeuvrable. I was quite surprised.
They are.
Yes, slow and sluggish, but you turn them pretty easy by the looks of things.
When people see them going over sports events, you just see them sailing across the sky. I mean, when at Cardington, I've seen them doing test flights, and the manoeuvres they do, they throw them around everywhere. Yeah. And it's amazing. When you see something over 100 foot long being thrown around like that, it's quite a sight.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
So, and you've also got...
The first signature was the captain of Skyship 500, GBIHN.
And that was 1986?
1986.
That's a long time ago.
Very little, yeah.
You've waited a while to have another
flight. Yeah. Best things come to those that wait.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the Skyship 500. That particular airship, if you've ever seen the film A View to a Kill, that was Zorin's airship.
Okay.
It blew up at the end, but thankfully...
I don't know why baddies have airships. They're just too slow to get away in.
Well, on that one, yeah. But the good thing about that film is, though, at the end the airship blew up. Now, everyone talks about airships, they say they blew up. But the good thing is that you don't see... It blows up, but in a way that doesn't make the airship look bad. It blew up because they had a large stick of dynamite inside, not because of the airship.
Not because of the helium exploding, which wouldn't happen.
It wouldn't happen. In fact, if you go up...
Wow, look at him. He's making quite low passes.
Yeah, he's going well.
Yeah.
In fact, you're flying in one of the largest fire extinguishers out there, because helium is used in a lot of fire extinguishers.
I'll remember that. The comforting thought of how much fire extinguisher stuff is around me when the gondola disconnects and plummets to the ground.
That won't happen. That
I imagine it's pretty well fastened.
Yeah.
It was quite an incredible flight, and it's directly over our heads now, and I don't know, it just looks like a lot of fun. I learned today that there are more space shuttle pilots than there are airship pilots. I wonder if they love it as much as it looks like they do.
I definitely do.
Why don't you learn to fly one?
I've got a good head for history, but I'm about as coordinated as a brick.
Probably not so good then, taking passengers in one of those things.
There's a lot of dials and knobs, and it's a bit complicated for me. Yeah. Dials and switches and
fair enough. No, fair enough.
I fall over my own feet.
Well, keep taking the pictures. Keep taking the video and sharing your knowledge. What's your name on Twitter?
My name on Twitter even is HAV Must Fly. That's another airship, which is another story, which I'll gladly tell you about.
HAV,
Hybrid Air Vehicles, but it's HAV Must Fly.
HAV Must Fly. I'll check you out. Thank you very much.
Not a problem. Thank you.